This is a two-point conversation. Now with your hosts, Chris and Hector.
Welcome to another edition of the two-point conversation. This is episode 21. I'm Chris, and I'm joined by my chum, Hector the Shaman. Hector.
Hey, Chris, how you doing, buddy?
How's it going?
It's doing pretty good. Well, dude, we have the conference finals coming up, and also on this show, we're going to talk about an interesting topic, walk-up songs.
Yes, we'll get to that in our next segment. But more importantly, we're joined by a very special guest. We've had him on the show before, and we're honored to have with us our buddy, Laz.
Hey, what's up, guys?
How is it going?
It's going good. It's going good. You know, wish I could say relaxed, but I'm anxious. But yeah, it's going good.
All right. So as Hector mentioned, we're going to talk a little Celtics. They're in the conference finals. Nobody expected them to be there.
Yeah.
Injury to Kyrie Irving. They're going to face Cleveland. So, Hector, what's with them? What's the magic?
This is with absurd. Them? You have your start point guard going down to injury. You got the successful injury and all that stuff, and you're basically playing with the role players and a rookie in Jason Tatum. And I have to say, my God, Jason Tatum has become a man, dude.
Yeah.
And this is a masterful job so far by Brad Stevens. And damn it, if he doesn't get Coach of the Year, I'm sorry. All the love for Dwayne Casey, but dude, your Raptors sucked hard.
Yeah, he did. They did. No, but this is what some people have told me. I said, how are the Celtics without Kyrie Irving, without
Gordon Hayward,
who was out since the first game of the season, they're beating the team that a lot of people thought were going to represent the East because, you know, the Sixers, they represented this threat, the process, the, you know, Embiid and Simmons coaching and experience.
Yeah.
Brad Stevens completely outcoached Brett Brown, and it was not even funny.
Yeah, and it was an amazing collective effort defensively and offensively. Jaylen Brown, you had Jason Tatum, and a guy who everybody says, yeah, he's not an all-star. Dude, Al Horford, he's an all-star, and he proved it.
He took those young Sixers to school.
Yeah.
Big time.
And, of course, I'm not going to take anything away from the Sixers. They played hard. But, you know, they still have a couple pieces away from truly contending and a little more experience to gain. And, of course, you know, a little bit more conditioning to keep battling on and on and on. But, all in all, congratulations to the Sixers for reaching as far as they could. But, man, the Celtics, without Hayward and Irving, damn, imagine having those two.
I mean, early on when the season started, they were the prohibitive favorites to take on the Cavaliers.
Yeah.
When they had Kyrie Irving, when they had Gordon Hayward. And once the season started and we saw how the dynamic was, we thought, oh, wow, I mean, they really got something going. But that gives you an idea of how deep they are.
Now, I'll give you an interesting stat. Jason Tatum is the first Celtics since Paul Pierce to score 7 straight games 20-plus points.
That is a great stat.
Since
that just shows
2004-2005.
And, of course, the contributions of other players. Jaylen Brown. You mentioned Horford. Marcus Smart. A lot of people mention him. He is the heart and soul of that team.
That's true.
He is that type of player that you can say he changes the game in a more subtle way than most. It's not like he's a star player, but he's a guy that makes a difference when he's on. You think of J.R. Smith in that sort of way, where J.R. Smith, if he's on, you know, any team he's on is going to be tough to beat.
Yeah. But I'll tell you this. This is truly going to be a test for them. Now that they're going to face the Cleveland Cavaliers, which God knows how they made it this far with the trash team they have. Although I'm gonna be fair. It's not too trash like when they started. But now, Kevin Love showed up. He's showing up. Thank goodness he showed up, because I love Kevin Love's game, and it's about damn time he showed up. But now you have to take this collective effort and try to not stop completely, but contain LeBron James and Kevin Love. So basically, you have those two monsters, but mostly LeBron.
Right.
Because, you know, he just did away with the Raptors. He owns the Raptors now.
And how about this postseason? There are two things that are happening this postseason that's making this special.
Yeah.
You got LeBron not just playing the way he's playing. He's hitting clutch shots consistently.
He's hitting fadeaways.
That was the knock on him. Always. He's not clutch. He doesn't hit. He's clutch. And you got Chris Paul finally getting out of the second round. So you got two greats of the game breaking through, if you can say that, because those two are grizzled veterans.
Yeah.
They are breaking through on things that were faults for them. So we're seeing that, and that's something that's special. I mean, I got to admit, you know, I'm not the biggest LeBron fan in the world. People who know me best know that. But I got to tip my cap to that man.
Yeah.
This is I think, you can argue the 2007 squad, this is the worst team he's taken to a playoffs, I think, in terms of rosters and talent. Yes, you have Kevin Love, but you don't got that definite second guy to help him. And he's doing wonders with what he's got.
I don't know. I still think 2007 was a more garbage team.
Well, I'd have to agree. If your second man is a guy that's nicknamed Booby, then, yeah, your team is not going to be pretty good.
Daniel Booby Gibson. Damn.
Laz, I know you don't got your eyes set much in the NBA these days. Anything you'd like to comment?
I just wanted to ask, like, for example, you think it's going to be like the Celtics season that they had against years back?
What do you mean?
You remember they ended up in the finals against the Lakers. You think this is going to be like that?
But for who?
In the NBA?
Well, they have the wherewithal to take on the Cavaliers. I just don't think... I'm always the one who always says in a series, the team that has the best player has the immediate advantage, and that's Cleveland. So I think we're going to have Warriors Cavs episode 4,
to
the chagrin of a lot of people, unless the Rockets do something about it. But it's tough. I say that if the Warriors are ever going to lose, it's going to be against Houston, because Houston has the firepower to match them,
and they also have a guy in Clint Capella. That boy, woo, he came to play, man.
Clint Capella definitely came to play. Oh, yeah, definitely. And, you know, this is the year, I think it's, I'm not going to say it's the one chance for Houston, but this is their best chance of the James Harden years. It's the best chance they have. And can you imagine let me go back to the Celtics for a moment. Can you imagine they pull off the ultimate upset, take down LeBron? They get to the finals. If that happens,
dude, they beat this year's 2011 Mavericks.
But the thing is that the Mavericks had the best Dirk Nowitzki we've ever seen.
I know, but in terms of, you know, they're a bunch of rat.
Man, the Mavs, the Dermot.
Yes, indeed.
Not the rat tag, but, you know, like, it's collective effort, such an amazing display of grit,
right?
Determination, and just taking down
the thing is the Mavericks had that, but they also have Dirk Nowitzki, who I'm not sure if he even missed a shot during that whole run. He was impossible to defend. The Celtics have that, and if they had playoff Kyrie, they would have been much better off. But what they've done so far is a testament to team basketball.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the sport has become so individual, so focused on singular accolades, that we've forgotten that teams very seldom win by just one guy. I was talking to our boy Dario, shout out if you're listening, probably isn't, but shout out if you are. he told me that there is a very, there isn't a direct correlation between the scoring champion and the world champion.
Hmm, interesting.
You know who are the last three scoring champions that also won the championship?
Enlighten me.
The last one. Let me tell you the last one. The last scoring champion to win the NBA championship was Shaq in the year 2000.
Wow.
18 years ago. Before that, it was Michael Jordan in most of the years that he won. And before that, it was Kareem Abdul-Jabbar in 1971 with Milwaukee. Uh-huh. So there isn't a correlation between being the best scorer and being the champion. You know, we nearly saw Steph Curry pull it off a few years ago when he was the lead scorer in the NBA, but they didn't win.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you're the lead scorer, it's a safe bet you're not going to win, but...
Yeah. I just don't want Cavs and Warriors finals matchup again. I was good enough with three times, but four times... I mean, it's overkill for me.
Overkill.
It's overkill for me.
You're tired of it already.
Yeah.
I won't say I'm tired, but I just wish we'd see another matchup.
Yeah, I know. I'll be honest. I was quietly rooting for the Pelicans, man.
Yeah, fat chance, buddy.
I think
if you want to avoid Cavaliers, Warriors, your best bet is the Rockets. If you're an anti-Warriors or anti-Cavs Warriors and not just a Rockets fan, your best bet to not have episode 4. Yeah, not have.
Yeah, but there's no New Hope there yet.
Nope, there isn't. A New Hope would be Houston. And this is the matchup everybody's waiting for. And I've said all year long that, you know, the Rockets have the team to beat the Warriors. They have the guy that Steve Kerr learned the ball movement in Mike D'Antoni. Of course, he learned that also from Greg Popovich. But, you know, the run-and-gun type offense, Steve Kerr learned that from Mike D'Antoni after working with him a few years as Suns GM back in the late 2000s. So... the originator of the ball movement, teacher versus student, if you will, that's the matchup.
I mean, and sorry. Now, the one thing I have to say, I know we're focusing on Boston here, but for the Rockets, the one thing that the Rockets have to pay attention to is that James Harden must not lose focus. He cannot go erratic. Just because you have a bad shooting night, you cannot go erratic. The psychological game has to be like on point, dude.
The thing with the Rockets is that James Harden has to be pretty good to at least great in every game for the Rockets to have a chance, because
the same as Chris Paul, man.
Because Chris Paul is going to be Chris Paul, and shooters have to make their shots and they have to defend the Warriors. But see, that's the thing. The Warriors have three guys who can carry the load at any given moment. So it's going to be a fun series. It'll be pretty nice to see that NBA Final Four. The Celtics are the story, I think.
Yeah.
You know, we didn't think they'd get out of the first round. I certainly didn't. And the Bucks didn't take advantage of that chance. And the Celtics are, and they're not afraid. And they have the team to do it. And if there's anybody who's going to do it, it's probably them. I mean, if they got past the Sixers, the team that everybody said could challenge the Cavaliers, why not them?
It's crazy how one team that was dealing with injuries took down two healthy squads.
Right.
That's crazy.
And that just tells you that next year when Hayward is back and when Kyrie is back, they're going to be dangerous.
I can't wait for next season.
It's going to be a pretty good yes. Final rounds of the playoffs.
Oh, boy.
We're going to take a quick break here in the two-point conversation. We're going to talk a pretty cool topic brought to me by a very good friend of mine. So let's take this break here on the two-point conversation.
interesting topic that Chris brought to me, brought to my attention off air. And what is it, Chris?
Well, this was a suggested topic brought to me by our dear friend Miguel Hidalgo, Deportes 135. Shout out if you're listening. And it's Major League Baseball players, when they come out to bat or when they come out to pitch, they do so with some introduction music. And it's interesting because every player has different songs, and it kind of gives you a glimpse into their personality and what they like. But before I talk about some of the research I did, Hector, what would be your walk-up song if you're up to bat? And then,
Oh boy, I'm gonna go very obscure.
Of course you are.
I was thinking about a thrash metal band called Power Trip. The song's called Crossbreaker.
You didn't go obscure. Somebody call Neil deGrasse Tyson. We got a black hole over here.
Yeah, definitely. Well, folks, if you don't know which one,
actually,
look for it on Spotify or something.
I got one for you. It's September by Earth, Wind, and Fire.
Oh, boy.
I don't know why.
Not the Taylor Swift version, right?
21st night of September.
Which would be yours, Les?
I'm actually going to be inspired by the Russo brothers.
Huh. Here,
in Infinity War. And I'm going to go with Queen's Another One Bites the Dust.
Oh, wow. That's a good one. We already did the spoilerish show, so.
Yeah.
No, well, those who know me best, I'll always go with something Alter Bridge. So I'll go Come to Life. If anybody knows that one, awesome. If you don't, look it up.
Hero was thinking you were going to march out with the Yankees theme.
Yankees don't have a theme.
Yes, of course they do.
What is the theme, Laz?
Monday! Money!
Very enticing. So, I did research on every player in the league. There's a link to that, actually. And I checked out some of the players and some of the songs. Let me list you a couple of them, if you will. Are you ready for some of these?
Yeah.
Steven Souza Jr., who is an outfielder for the Arizona Diamondbacks, he comes up to bat with Space Jam from Quad City DJs.
Wow.
Welcome to the Space Jam.
I know. It's just I would figure out somebody a little bit more known using that. But I'm not saying he's not known, but I'm just saying a little bit more.
All right.
Known, just going, come on and slam, and welcome to the jam.
Right. Let's see what other names we got here. You might appreciate this one, Hector. Orioles outfielder, first baseman,
uh-huh.
Mark Trumbo. He comes to bat with Black Honey from Thrice.
Damn!
Really?
That is some.
Dude, I got one good for you. Trevor Bauer from the Cleveland Indians. It comes with the song "The Pursuit of Vikings" from Amon Amarth.
Oh wow! That
Amon Amarth is making the list.
That's pro right there.
That's crazy, man.
Here's one: Xander Bogaerts, the shortstop for the Boston Red Sox. He's called the X-Man.
All right.
And he comes in with "X Gon' Give It to You" by DMX.
Wow.
see a little bit of the personality there. Let's see which other one I got here. Hanley Ramirez, also from the Boston Red Sox. This was one of the choices that I was like, really? He comes in to "Take On Me" by A-ha.
What?
Really?
Yeah. I was surprised at that one.
Really?
Oh. I just stumbled upon this one. This is from the St. Louis Cardinals. Brett Cecil. He comes out to a favorite band of yours. It comes to the song "Sober" by Tool.
That's a great one. That's a great one.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
That is just.
Here's a good one. Josh Reddick of the Houston Astros. Uh-huh. He comes out to the Ric Flair theme.
Woo!
He's a big wrestling guy.
Okay. That actually has a name. I think it's Thus Spoke Zarathustra.
Yeah.
He
comes out, he's a big wrestling guy. I think a few years back he made a beard off with Daniel Bryan.
Yeah, it was him.
He's a big wrestling guy.
And we all know who won that one.
Yeah. And speaking of wrestling, another guy who kind of outed himself as a wrestling fan, Yankees relief pitcher Tommy Canley, he comes in with the Bobby Roode theme.
Glorious. Oh, that's nice.
Glorious.
Let's see.
Do it. This one's hilarious. Elvis Andrews from the Texas Rangers, he comes out to the song Me Niego from Rake.
Wow.
That is crazy, man.
This was one that I was pleasantly surprised by. You know, Eric Thames, the first baseman for the Brewers?
Yeah.
He comes out to Heresy by Pantera.
Damn. No.
I was surprised at that one.
I'm really surprised with some of the choices here in the MLB.
Staying with the Rangers for a moment, Delino the Shield, he comes to a favorite song of mine. Where the Party At by Jagged Edge.
That's old school. That's old school. Let's see. Oh, this one is very popular at the park, where it's Charlie Blackman, Rockies outfielder. He comes out to Your Love by The Outfield. And it's popular because when the song plays, and if you see a Rockies game, look for it. You know the early part of the song, Josie's on vacation and far away. And then it comes, I just want to use your love. And it stops, and everybody goes, tonight. Everybody in the crowd goes like that. So that's a very popular one there. Let's see what else we got here. Brent Suter, who is a relief pitcher for the Brewers, he comes out to the Jurassic Park theme. I don't know. It's an awesome theme. You can't go wrong with that one, right?
I got an interesting one here. Staying with the wrestling themes, Giants pitcher Derek Holland, he comes to Here Comes the Money.
Oh, the Shane O'Mac.
Yeah.
Shane O'Mac theme.
See, I mean, these guys show their personalities. Here's a good one. Noah Syndergaard, who is a pitcher for the New York Mets, he comes out to the Game of Thrones theme.
Oh, how apropos. Of course. Four.
He did a cameo in Game of Thrones last season.
Really?
He appeared for like half a second and then was killed. I don't know, but the dude, they call him Thor because
they call him
Thor because he's a dead ringer for Chris Hemsworth.
I think I know what it is.
So let's see what else. Oh, you also got Jason Kipnis, who enters with the song "Bouncing Back" by Mystical. If anybody remembers that, you know the one that says. You ain't seen Bouncing Back. Ta-da.
Don't do that ever again. don't ever do that again.
Joe Mauer, we saw him in the games here. He comes in to What You Know by T.I. Joe Mauer.
Okay.
And, of course, you got some guys who are classics. You know, Todd Frazier comes in to Fly Me to the Moon by Sinatra. He's a Jersey guy, of course. Seth Lugo. He comes in to For Whom the Bell Tolls by Metallica. That is, Will Myers comes in to Immigrant Song. We know that one from Led Zeppelin song from Thor, Ragnarok. Nick Castellanos from the Detroit Tigers. He comes in to Fallen by Alicia Keys. How about that for a second? Now batting. Wow. I keep on falling.
All right.
Nick Castellanos.
All right. These two are cool. Jed Lowry from the Oakland A's.
Right.
He comes to Tom Sawyer from Rush. And catcher Jonathan Lucroy. He comes to Gone Away from Five Finger Death Punch. That's cool.
So it shows a little bit more about every player's personality. James Shields comes into Dirty by Seven Dust. I mean you see all the different varieties that there are. You see a lot of hip hop, you see a lot of rock, you see a lot of country music.
Yeah.
David Robertson from the Yankees, he comes into Sweet Home Alabama. He's an Alabama guy, everybody knows that. And there's a lot of Latin flavor and a lot of stuff like that. So you know, there's a full list on the MLB website you can check out. So we're going to wrap this up. We want to thank our buddy Laz for joining us. It's a pleasure to have you here. Our buddy here is going to move to better things, better adventures, better adventures, and, well, a way to honor his contributions and his friendship with us. We wanted to have him on this episode. So thanks you for joining us.
I'm really grateful to have been here. At least one last time before, you know, before I leave. Still a week, though, but...
Yeah, well, we wanted to have you here and all that stuff, and
yeah, make both of the time. You
know? Right.
Yeah, I'm still gonna be working on Power Slime podcast. I'm still
right.
gonna be working on all that. So, you know, it'll be interesting to see how we do that and see if we can do it together. Even though I'm gonna be in New York, but yeah,
that's right. Check our boy out in our Power Slime podcast if you're a wrestling fan. So that'll do it for this episode of the 2-Point Conversation. From my buddy Laz and my chum Hector, I'm Chris. Catch us next time here on the 2-Point Conversation.